Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We reached the last leg now of the election campaign. All candidates are trying to use the time left to convince the electorate to vote for them. Last night we saw Micheál Martin, Mary Lou MacDonald and Simon Harris take part in the leaders' debate on RTE television on primetime. So how important was that debate? Will the leaders be fully happy with their performance? Let's analyse it all now with Kevin Doyle, executive editor with the Irish Independent, and Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Examiner. Thank you both for being with us this morning. Kevin, do you think that the leaders will be satisfied this morning, at least that they shored up their base?
I think that's exactly it, Claire. It was kind of a no damage done type of night for them. They were all quite risk adverse. Simon Harris obviously had the most to gain last night, but also the most to lose, because I think if he had a singular slip up, even on a small one, it would have continued that trend of Fine Gael rolling from one crisis to another throughout the campaign. So he didn't have that. I think he'll be happy that he got some points across. He tried to go for substance. He went into a lot of detail to get away from that idea that he's all style. Mary Lou MacDonald, I think she had the best one-liners of the night. If you were there for the kind of entertainment value, she's the one who had the best kind of scripted attacks on the other. I mean, it's the one that obviously stands out is the look, and her positioning actually helped her a lot. The fact that she was between the two guys, the body language allowed her to kind of swing towards Micheál Martin and accuse him of crashing the economy, and then swing back towards Simon Harris and accuse him of bringing austerity. And look, Micheál Martin, was he there? I barely noticed, because to be honest, he played this kind of slow, steady game where he was kind of just happy to let it play out. And I think he knows that what has worked for Fianna Fáil in this campaign a lot of the time is to let Simon Harris take the hits for the government and to just kind of quietly do his own thing on the side.
Elaine, did you see that in the same way, that Micheál Martin was hanging back?
I thought certainly at the start, now he came into it towards the end, and I'm talking about Simon Harris here now, not Micheál Martin, that the Taoiseach at times was almost passive in the debate and let Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald interact with each other. Now, I do take Kevin's point that Micheál Martin has been playing on this strong, steady leadership, someone with a knowledge and experience of politics, and almost taking a kind of a teacher-like quality, and he is a teacher, of presiding over the bickering students in the class.
At one point he did say, I can't remember, was it Sarah or Miriam asked him, what did he admire about Mary Lou MacDonald? And he literally replied, I'm not doing silly questions. And I think that tells you what Micheál Martin is I'm above this, and I'm above some of the games that are being played.
So do you agree then with Kevin, Elaine, that what they did was last night, and that was probably the aim for all of them, was just to shore up what they have, hold what they have?
I think all three won that debate because no one won. You couldn't say that anyone came out stronger than the other. And I think it also echoed probably the wider campaign. We're almost 3 weeks into it now, just 48 hours left. You had a few vignettes dotted throughout it where there was peaks, and you'd say someone got a point here, another person got a point here. A bit like the campaign itself, where issues have perhaps, there have been little things that have punched through, whether it's the John McGahan controversy, whether at the very start the Michael O'Leary issue, and of course the Canturk interaction with the Taoiseach. But nothing that has really exercised the public throughout the campaign and has snowballed in comparison to 2020, where you looked back and the issue of the pension age really was a lightning rod, especially on the Doors, and people were really angry about that, especially towards the end. So we've had a few little minor blips, a few wins throughout this campaign, and I think that was essentially what happened during this debate last night.
The pressure on Simon Harris going in there last night was immense, wasn't it? Because everyone said, this is, you know, he has got to gain some ground here. He's got to steady the ship.
Yeah, and he started on the back foot because obviously he was going to face the first question, and those were going to be difficult questions about his reaction in Canturk and how he's carried himself throughout this. Has it been real? Is this kind of empathetic Simon Harris who goes around the country shaking every hand he can find, is that real, or has that all just been something for the election since he became Taoiseach? Has it all just been one big election campaign and actually he's tired and tetchy? And ironically, Micheál Martin got very upset at the start of the campaign because he said people in Fine Gael Mail were accusing him of being the grumpy one, and it's kind of come full circle. So what was interesting, I suppose, as it went on, he got more of an attack dog on Mary Lou MacDonald around the economy, around law and order. But really, the dynamic between him and Micheál Martin was one of the most fascinating things, because there was an opportunity, I feel, in the opening couple of minutes for Micheál Martin to put the boot in. Maybe not bury Simon Harris, but certainly put the boot in, where he was asked about whether one of his staffers tried to interfere with RTE's coverage of that clip from Kanturk. And it was put to Micheál Martin, what do you think about that? And he decided not to take the hit. Mm. He decided to let Simon Harris
but
off on
that. But they've been
that.
Very careful about that. I mean, in the opening, say in the opening days, opening week maybe of the campaign, they were very much willing to have a go at each other, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I think they pulled well back from that, and that was an evidence last night. We're not going to go there.
I think they realised at some point that that probably went too far. Mm-hmm. It was, for the first week of the campaign, that was the entire debate, was them kicking lumps out of one another, tearing each other's record in government where they were together, picking on ministries that they didn't have, targeting them and saying, oh, they blocked us from doing whatever policy. So I think at some point they realised that actually that wasn't helping either of them.
But they also didn't do the other thing that they could have done, Elaine, which was gang up together on Mary Lou MacDonald.
Yeah, and I think that would have been a very bad look. But Kevin is right. I think Micheál Martin probably feels like he's in with Simon Harris dealing with the necks, and perhaps there's a chance they might get back together again. So he doesn't want to go full on in and take the pin out of the grenade and lob it at his opponent just yet. So there is that, I think, both sides being careful while having to attack each other, not going full force in that attack.
Mm-hmm. In a weird way, Claire, it'll come down to numbers at the end of this. And Micheál Martin's probably, he's very pragmatic, and he's possibly looking at it going, if it ends up to get to 88, say Fianna Fáil came back with somewhere in the mid-40s and Sinn Féin came back with somewhere in the mid-40s and Fine Gael were back in the 30s. That means to go in with Fine Gael, you need a three-party government. So what's more stable, a two-party with Sinn Féin or a three-party with Fine Gael? So actually, in a weird kind of perverse way, he doesn't need Fine Gael to drop too far, or the coalition becomes more difficult to form, even though perhaps Fianna Fáil are stronger in it.
And what happens if that situation arises to Micheál Martin and his role as Fianna Fáil leader, given his unwavering stance last night on coalition with Sinn Féin?
Well, I think the question will come up. It's a tricky one for Micheál Martin, in the sense that he has nailed his colours to mast. There is no doubt that there are some in his party who believe that that the time has come to move on from that stance. There's no doubt. But they have been quiet. They have been very quiet the last few days. There hasn't been that push within Fianna Fáil. They know they're in a good position. Don't rock the boat. Don't scare the horses. That can change. All these things change once the votes come in. I think Micheál Martin will get his way this time around. But what happens next time out? But I suppose, look, we sat here 4 years ago and said next time is Sinn Féin's turn, and it hasn't played out like that.
Yeah, and it was put to him very strongly last night, wasn't it, Elaine? You changed your mind on Fine Gael, so can we expect you to change your mind when it comes to Sinn Féin, depending on how the votes fall?
Yes, and Micheál Martin remaining adamant that his party will not talk to Mary Lou MacDonald and Sinn Féin. And I think some of his senior ministries, even speaking to us this morning, are saying similar, so backing up the Taoiseach on that. It will be interesting, and Kevin is right, it will come down to the number of seats that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael get, because if there is a significant difference between both the parties and one comes out a lot better than the other, it's a predicament for both the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, because you have a situation where the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has to admit defeat if he doesn't come back with at least the number of seats that he has now, and is in a position to negotiate a rotating Taoiseach and the same number of ministerial positions as they had last time. Could he swallow his pride and go into a coalition where Fine Gael only has a permanent Taoiseach role? Now, that would be a very difficult decision, and you'd imagine that Fine Gael would not be happy with that. So I think it's in the interest for programme for government negotiations and perhaps an easy life that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael come out with roughly the same number of seats.
Yeah, very interesting conversation.
It's a weird
that
one.
Scenario presents itself. Did you catch the Micheál Martin nod to Labour last night? It was very clear. Like when we were talking about the coalition prospects, Labour was the only party he mentioned.
Yeah, we've seen that before. There was another interview where Simon Harris gave a praise to Labour as well. There is no doubt that Ivana Bacic must be sitting at home watching these things on her television and kind of, you know, having a good mouthful of tea every time she hears it. And look, I think it is pretty obvious that the Green Party are going to lose seats in this election. And when you look around, Labour are the party with experience. You've people like Alan Kelly, former leader, former minister, who says he wants to be a minister again. They have people who have done this before, so they understand how government works.
He also knows what happened afterwards.
and how it can go wrong, indeed.
30
yeah,
seats
absolutely.
To seven.
But the difference with dealing with them versus, say, the Sock Dems is that there is nobody in the Sock Dems now with Roisin Shortall gone who has been in a position like that before. And so therefore you're starting with a blank canvas and you don't know how they will be in a negotiation around government or what ministries. So I think they will look to Labour. But will Labour be enough on their own to do that? Labour will need, you know, 6-8 seats, and how many ministries will they want?
Mm-hmm. What about a 4-party government?
I think once you get into that sort of scenario, the stability of a government comes into question, because we saw it before when the Independent Alliance were in government with Fine Gael, that, you know, it came to every Wednesday or Thursday when there were votes and the media were getting very excited because it was a case of, will this vote pass? Will it not? Now, I know it was a different scenario with confidence and supply at that time. But I think the more people you have, or more parties, more individuals, whether it's independents and Labour and two parties, you really are looking at whether it can go the distance or not. And I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would like to be. Now, it has to be said, they were talking about a 2-party government just about 3 weeks ago before this election was called. That certainly seems to be off the table now. And I think they will need another party to shore up that support and guarantee government.
Looking at the other option, I mean, during the first leaders' debate, when Ivana said, well, the first thing we'll do is talk to other parties of the left to try and form an alliance. Now, you could look at that happening, say those talks are successful. They then talk en masse to Sinn Féin. There's another viable option, right? If they can all come together.
So
it's asking a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. two things on that, Claire. First of all, Ivana knows the boys are winking at her. So she has to play hard to get, because she'll be wanting to drive a hard bargain if that's where we end up. On that idea of the left alliance, do it before the election. You have to present people with an option. And this is the challenge that faces Sinn Féin, is that every time Mary Lee MacDonald is asked, what's your government? She talks about a progressive left. But like Labour and the Sock Dems can't even get it together. Mm. And they're practically the same party. They have small differences in their manifestos, of course, but they are largely the same party and they can't even come together. They some of them, I would argue, despise each other.
With the change of the guard in the Sock Dems, you wonder now, will that change after the election? Because Roisin, who had her differences with Labour, will be gone. Catherine too, you know, although Ivana Bacic did say to me in here yesterday, she hasn't had the conversation with the Sock Dems. So you're right, you know, they haven't, as far as we know.
I think they should have been presenting this platform before. You need to show that, okay, maybe if the left came together and they were able to get 20 seats or 25 seats beside them and Sinn Féin had 40 something seats, and suddenly you're going, okay, now we're kind of, you know, we're getting up to maybe 70 seats. And then it becomes, if you vote in big enough numbers, that could push us towards a government. But at the moment, it's all scattergun.
And the problem with the left, I think, is in comparison to, let's say, the middle ground of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which would have a chunk of a government seat-wise with an added extra, a bonus party. When you're talking about the left, you're talking about Sinn Féin all the way through Labour, Sock Dems, Solidarity, People Before Profit, and then the left-wing independents. So to get all of those people in a room, let alone agree on a programme for government and policy, I think would be a mammoth task. And that is the issue. The left are so disparate that it's very difficult to form any sort of a solid alliance.
I don't know, but your stranger things have happened, haven't they? Who knows where we'll be on Saturday?
Well, as politicians always say.
Kevin, that is the one thing that is certain. Given what we've seen last night, poll results until now, like, we do not know where we're going to be on Saturday morning.
No, it's amazing. I've been talking to people from the three parties over the last couple of days, the three main parties, trying to get a read on what they say. And obviously everybody spins. But the one thing that has come true from all of the parties is that the same anger that was there in 2020 isn't there on the doorstep. So everybody, well, not everybody, but the vast majority of people are actually being nice to them. So they're finding it very hard to get a read on whether or not they're actually getting the votes. Because if you're Sinn Féin and you knock on the door and someone's saying, oh, the housing thing is terrible, you're going to do something with that, fair play to you, best of luck. And then Fine Gael knock on the door and they say, oh, good, you're doing all right with the economy, best of luck. And so I think they are finding it hard to get a read. And we are probably going to end up with a three-way tie of sorts, and then it'll come down to, I suppose, the seat bounce, and that's where the transfers between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil start to come into play, and I think that's what will drive them on to ultimately...
I'll remind you of that now if I'm talking to you over the weekend on
no
the radio.
No doubt you will.
All right, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming in. There are lists of declared candidates on the constituency profiles on the RTE News website. You'll find them at rte.ie/constituencies. Thanks again, Kevin Doyle and Elaine Loughlin. Coming up next, brands distance themselves from Conor McGregor following Nikita Han's successful case against him for sexual assault.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.